Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Getaway Friday, September 1st, 2023, first day of the month of September. 16 minutes past the hour, and we've got a great day of programming here on WGH Talk, and we're going to kick it off the only way we could do today. For one reason, tomorrow is the official kickoff of the Ohio State Buckeyes football season, a Saturday tradition here in Central Ohio and beyond. To talk about that game, there's only one person we could have on this morning live via telephone. He is our dear friend at the station for more than 10 years now. We have had a lot of fun from Tony Paco's to the Bratwurst Festival to the Marion County Fair, and we will continue to have fun. And this morning, we're going to get a little insight into this game tomorrow, Ohio State versus Indiana at Indiana, the first time we've seen the Ohio State Buckeyes since the bowl game and the Michigan game last year. So for 15 minutes to kick off this program, my pal, superfan himself, Buckeye Guy, good morning.
Good morning, Scott Spears. It's almost Christmas.
I know. This is like Christmas Eve for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. Before we get started, I want to say thank you to Scott Spears for always calling and checking on old Buckeye Guy and getting firsthand information.
Well, I certainly do appreciate that. Thank you, Buckeye Guy. Now, here we are, Christmas Eve for you. The Ohio State season kicks off tomorrow. What is the feeling like, just in general, for you every year the day before?
It is so exhilarating. We've been waiting. Like you said, the last couple of games we played didn't go to script. We are trying to come out and rectify this whole thing and get started on a brand new season.
Now, the two games last year, and we had a lot of fun talking about those games, the second loss to Michigan and also the bowl game loss on New Year's Eve, both games which you were at, will that impact tomorrow's game at all?
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope that Coach Day, I certainly hope that all the returning players, starters, and reserves know for a fact how it feels not to come out and have the designed effect. When we are supposed to win by 30 points, let's go out there and put those 30 points up on the board. Let's get out of the way. Let's get Indiana done. And everything will be, you know, we're going to right the ship.
You know, it's very interesting, Buckeye Guy. I was looking at the stats this morning. Ohio State is a 97% favorite to win tomorrow. But really, when it comes down to it, does that mean anything?
It really doesn't, because you start the game, both teams are at 0-0. That oblong ball, that football, bounces funny ways, and we've seen in the past where things have happened that should not have happened. But you know what? I've got a good vibe. I'm so excited. Everything's going our way. Had a great camp. We got a brand new quarterback. You know, McCord is going to be something. I'm telling you, it's the beginning of a new era. Of course, C.J. Stroud was the highest drafted quarterback out of The Ohio State University. For years, Art Schleister held that particular spot with going number four to the Indianapolis Colts. Now, C.J. Stroud has went number two to the Houston Texans. And you know what? I think the next big one is Kyle McCord.
Now, Buckeye Guy, the game tomorrow is in Indiana. The home opener is not a home game. Does that have any effect on tomorrow's game?
You know what, man? Old Coach Jim Trussell would have never started the game on the road. Secondly, he would have never started the game with a conference foe. Thirdly, he would have never had a night game to start the season. I'm telling you, man, listen, having to go on the road to Indiana, I remember we had to go down there in 17 to start the season. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. But that's what is faced in front of us. We're going to go down there, take care of business. I will tell you, there are a couple of advantages for playing in Indiana. First off, there's a little church 500 yards away from the stadium. The church does not charge for parking. They take donations. I always give them a crisp 20, park right there, and walk right over to the stadium. Those are some great things. They got some great food down there in Indiana as well now.
Now, you know, I love talking with you about food because you go to these places continuously and have for more than 20 years now. Where do you go in Indiana? Where's the place to eat for people who might be traveling there?
Okay. They've got little food trucks, food vendors right next to the stadium. There's a guy that caters ribs. You can get, of course, some of the best hot dogs there. But if you are ever in Indianapolis, before you head over, stop at St. Elmo's. St. Elmo's is highfalutin down there. They've got one of the best shrimp cocktails known to man. Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, during the draft week, always has a table reserved for him at that particular restaurant. It's unbelievable.
Now, Buckeye guy, being that tomorrow's game is an away game, the season opener is an away game, tell us what you think will happen at the first home game, being that it's not the first week.
Well, you know what? I think we're probably favored by 50 points against that particular team. But listen, what we need to do, we need to get in there and do exactly what we know that we can do. Oh, our running backs are back this year. We had running back problems last year as far as staying healthy. Our running backs are healthy. We're ready to go. We need to ground and pound the ball because we don't have C.J. Stroud anymore. Like I say, he's already over in Houston playing for the Texans. And by the way, they've named him the starter for the season.
Mm. Do you do anything special before the first game each year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Leading up to the darn games, it's just a ritual. I've got a countdown clock right now that's running like you wouldn't believe. And it's almost down to 24 hours. And once you get down to the 24-hour thing, I mean, everything goes in the hot. It's just like NASA. They've got a countdown clock. And I've got one too, Scott Spear.
And you're looking forward to the trip to Indiana tomorrow.
Listen, man, it's a five-hour trip. Probably take off around 7 o'clock in the morning. Get there around noon. Say hello to all the patrons. Get in my seat good and early. Once they open the gates to the stadium, get on in there. And then let me tell you what Indiana has been doing constantly for the last 20 years. When the Ohio State University comes to play in Indiana, their colors are crimson and cream. Our colors are scarlet and gray. So it all looks red. And it's a sellout because it's a regional game. You can get tickets at a very reasonable price as well. So they take their stadium picture full to the hilt with red, giving the impression that it's a sellout. And it has been a sellout. But probably 70% of the people there tomorrow will be from the Ohio State University.
You know, Buckeye guy, I was thinking about this last night. The last two games last season, the bowl game and in Michigan game, Ohio State did not win. They're coming in this year. They're not playing at home. Now, obviously, they are the heavy favorite against Indiana, but as we just talked about, you can throw that out the window once the game starts. If Ohio State, God forbid, should lose tomorrow, what would that mean?
I'm taking a pause here because I'm thinking strongly about that. I hadn't even considered it, Scott Spears. That's something that even doesn't even come to mind. It won't happen. It can't happen. And it must not happen. We are thinking that we are going to go in there be triumphant, beat them by 30 points like we're supposed to, and we're moving on to the second game.
That's an interesting point. What should the spread be tomorrow for Ohio State to make a comeback after the two losses last year? How much, in your opinion, do they need to beat Indiana by?
Probably 40. They say 30. Probably 40. But Kevin Wilson's a heck of a coach down there, and he always has been a bugaboo for the Ohio State University. We've beaten them by 1, 3, 7, 5. I mean, it always seems to be a close game. This game is supposed to be a blowout game. We need that game to be a blowout game, just as predicted. Now, if in fact Coach Urban Meyer were there, don't worry about that, buddy, because he's going to hang 70 on you and think nothing about it. So Coach Day has a different coaching style, as we know. And you know what? I think he needs to put his foot down to the pedal to the metal, and we're going to run away with this game. Mm.
Now, well, you've talked about Coach Tressel, and you've talked about Coach Meyer, and Coach Day does have a different coaching style, which we all have learned. Is it like a general at war? Does it all start and end with Ryan Day?
It's just different. I'll tell you what. Coach Tressel came in here as a senator. He was unbelievable, and he ground and pound and grind the ball. He even said one time the most important play in football is the punt. And he proved that to be true, winning a national championship. And that was unbelievable. We all bought in to Coach Tressel's play. Then we had a very distinctive style in Coach Urban Meyer. Coach Urban Meyer had a Ferrari, and he loved taking it around the corners with his foot to the floor. And also resulting in a national championship. So we are just primed and ready for Coach Day with his style to end up and culminate in the thing that we've all been hoping for, is another national championship.
Two quick questions here, Buckeye Guy, in our final remaining 4 minutes here. We have seen Ohio State coaches come and go after the last 2 years with the loss in the bowl game last year, 2 years losing to Michigan, 1 year at Ohio State, and 1 year in Michigan. Is this the season Coach Day has to beat Michigan? He has to go to a bowl game and win. He has to be definitive in all his wins all season. Is Coach Day's future on the line this year?
Our goals are already in place. They're set in stone each and every year, regardless of who's at the helm. You need to win all your games, go win the final game of the year, and come back home with the golden trophy. It used to be years past, we used to win the Big Ten and go to the Rose Bowl. That was Woody Hayes' era mantra. Win the Rose Bowl, you know, and then be in contention for a national championship. It don't get no better than that. I'm telling you, I was talking to Cornelius Green, the first African-American quarterback in Ohio State history. He played 73, 74, 75. He had a great Heisman Trophy running back behind him named Archie Griffin. He won it in 74 and 75. Pete Johnson blocked for him. You know, it was John Hicks was on the line blocking. He won the Outland Trophy and the Lombardi Trophy. They're great players that come to the Ohio State University. We are looking for redemption. We are looking for winning. It won't get no better than this, and it starts all tomorrow at 3:30 in Indiana.
Final question, Buckeye Guy. Give me a prediction. What's the score going to be tomorrow?
56-20.
56-20, OSU. Boy, oh boy, it's going to be great. Buckeye Guy, no better way to start the morning than with you. You have been a pal of mine for many years, and it will continue on. And I thank you on Christmas Eve for you today.
Thank you, Scott Spears. Have a great day, and go Buck!
Thank you, Buckeye Guy. All right. Well, there we go. There's Buckeye Guy's game prediction tomorrow, 56-20. Now, we need to do something very quickly here. The Friday night show is on tonight with Matt Carrington and Sean. Last night, I taped a little preview of the Friday night show with Carrington and Matt, who were in the studio last night, because I thought, well, maybe there's some people in the morning who have never heard the Friday night show. So this was taped last night. Nobody has ever heard this. It's 30 minutes of what tonight's Friday night show will be like. So here's a little preview of tonight's show. Take a listen. Maybe. Hey, Scott Spears along with you here on this Friday morning, and this is a little taste. Now, we've never done this before, so this is going to be highly fascinating. You know, the fastest growing sensation talk show on the station is the Friday Night Live show with Carrington Nelson and Matt Morgan and Sean Kraft and myself every Friday night, 8:15 to 10 p.m. on this station. And even though it's Friday morning, we're going to give you a 15-minute taste of that program because I thought maybe the people who listen in the morning are not the same people who listen at night. So tonight, this show will be on 8:15 to 10 p.m. right here on WGH Talk. It's live, and tonight's going to be the pre-Labor Day edition of this program, which is really going to be hot. I hear we might have cookies tonight. We'll see what happens. But Matt, you have been here in the well, you're going to be here in like an hour from now, sitting in with me at 10:15 till 11, and then you'll be on the Exchange Club with Pastor Craig and Sean and I today at 12:15. But do you think it's a different audience you've been here in the morning than me listen at night?
I'm not sure that there's a different audience. I think some of them probably are different, but I think that the majority of the people who call in are the same people.
I think the callers are the same people. I think the people who listen are different. So this is a hook to get people to listen tonight. We're going to be on 12 hours from now, live in the studio. Carrington, you've never been here during the day. One day we'll do that. But, you know, it's a night thing.
I think that's wrong. I think that there's a way different audience because in the morning they're probably like on their commute to work or something. Just turn on the radio. Like if you're listening to the radio on a Friday night, that's pretty intentional.
Well, I think that the audience is different. I do think the audience is different in the morning. Because I think when we're doing Family Feud and giving things away, I think that's different than people listening to a conversation. Callers might be the same because they're near their phone, but I think the listenership's different.
You think so?
I would say so.
I mean, I just kind of figured, because, like, it's that, like, we don't have, like, an actual radio station anymore, so it's not like people are actually tuning into the station.
I tune in.
You have to get onto the TuneIn app.
Well, that's the important thing. Yes. That's how you listen anywhere in the world.
That's how I listen, TuneIn.
You do listen on TuneIn, and you find it fascinating, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Yes. Carrington?
I think I've listened through the website a couple times. That's it. I've never used the TuneIn thing. This is funny because some of my friends and family have asked like how to listen, and I'm like,
TuneIn.
WWGHradio.com.
Oh, well, that's right. We do stream live there, but the TuneIn app's great.
Oh, okay. I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
I'm try it.
Yeah. Oh, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's number one. Now, you were telling a story before we went live with this morning about a friend of yours in September goals.
Yeah, we were hanging out yesterday and she was just talking about how she had some goals that were coming up for the month of September, and she is a little bit ahead of me because she's, well, not ahead, but in a different stage of life than me. I'm going to phrase that differently.
Older.
No, she's actually younger than me,
but she's applying
to law school right now, and she's planning her wedding, so, like, her goals were, you know, wedding-related, and she wanted to send in all of her law school applications and all very official things. I read it, and I was like, wow, an adult would definitely have these goals.
And she makes goals every month.
Yeah, she's definitely.
That surprised you.
Yes.
Matt, what do you think of goals every month?
I think setting I never thought about it, but I think setting goals is good. I mean, if you set, like, obviously reasonable goals for yourself and you hit them, it's almost like incentive to keep hitting goals that you set for yourself.
Well, let's set some goals here. All right. What are the September goals as we start September today, September the 1st?
Okay, well, I actually have a spikeball game in my car, which if you don't know what spikeball is, it's kind of like volleyball, but you play in your yard and it's like a round circular net. And I recently broke one of the pieces off of one of the legs of it, and I need to contact the spike ball company because I think they'll replace my part for free. And maybe that doesn't seem like an ambitious month-long goal, but I hope I do that in the month of September.
I thought these were, like, real goals.
That's a real goal for me. Scott,
that's not a goal. That's not a goal. That's like a chore. That's like a to-do
list. That's a goal for the month of September, like, for me.
Get tea in the morning, clean the carpets. That's not a goal.
Yes, no, it is. I made a list one time for my friends. I was like, guys, let's set some goals. And I was like, we're all going to drink water. That's a goal for me. Like, I don't naturally get thirsty that often.
Drinking water is a goal.
Okay.
But
drinking water
your game is not a goal. That's a task.
I hope it happens this coming month.
That's like mail the letter.
Yes.
That's not a goal. That's a task. Matt, what do you think?
I think my biggest goal for the month of September has to be to find a sponsor.
Now, you've been around talking to people, which is good, because you're learning that side of this business, the sponsorship side.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, but it is what it is. You know, it's how you stay on the air. You gotta have sponsorships, you gotta have money.
Can you explain this a little bit more to me? Like, I don't know. How does anybody get paid here? What's this mean?
Well, we don't know if we want to lay that all out.
How are we making money?
Well, this is what we'll talk off the air.
Sorry.
That's not really an on-air conversation. But we'll have that conversation off the air. Matt, other than finding a sponsor, what are your September goals?
I think my September goals have to revolve around actually trying to watch football this year.
Oh, very interesting.
I didn't watch, like, any football at all last year. I was busy.
You just went to a game.
Yeah, but that was a preseason game. Like, you can watch those on TV, but nobody does.
Your birthday's in September.
It is.
September 29th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. You knew his birthday.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. When's my birthday?
I have no idea.
I know, because we never talked about it.
No, but Matt and I go way back.
Yeah.
Back to May. We go back to May. No, but it's on a Friday. We've talked about
it
this.
It is, yes.
You'll be in here on his birthday celebrating with us.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to bring... Oh, wait, actually, I'm not going to say what I'm going to do.
You're going to do a surprise.
Oh, yeah. Well, now I've put a pressure on myself. I'm going to have to remember.
You don't like pizza. Just for fair warning, don't like cake.
Okay. Loud and clear.
You think you're going to bake a cake?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
Okay, there's your September goal.
I don't want her to bring me a cake. And then be like, no.
Why is watching football a more acceptable goal than me mailing my spike ball thing?
Because that sounds like something you would do over a period of time to better yourself. This spike ball thing doesn't seem... It seems like once that's there, it's back, it's over.
I know. I just broke the other day, and I've just been really thinking about it, and it hasn't happened yet.
You know what? I want to clear up something, because we have about 10 minutes here, before we get to pet peeves, because we ran into a whole thing last week about pet peeves. But Carrington went on the air, and I don't think I ever explained it when I heard the show back. She kept saying that we were not friends. And the reason she kept saying this is because before we went on the air, well, you tell people what happened.
Basically, we have to take a little promo picture each week to show everybody, you know, hey.
That we're going
to
be on.
Yeah, we're going to be on. Come listen to us. And, Scott kept talking about how we really needed to look friendly in this picture and in promo
pictures.
That's
the pep talk I give before we go on here. We better look friendly. Bye.
Yeah, Scott's got like a knife in here, and he's like, everyone look friendly.
Heads are gonna roll if we don't look friendly.
Yeah. So he just keeps going on about how we need to look friendly. This is what we should do for the photo.
Now, wait a second.
Look friendly.
Hold on. Let me just qualify.
You don't want to tell this story.
Yeah, but hold on. Now, the reason I say this is because we took the same picture for about 6 weeks, and it looks like a football picture that people take standing outside of a gym somewhere. We got to vary this thing up. It's got to look a little more friendly.
Yeah, which I agree with that. I mean, we could stand in the photo instead of just sitting every week. Like, there's little things we could do to make it look different. But anyway, he just kept talking about how we really needed to look friendly in this photo. And I was eventually like, what do you mean? Why do we have to try so hard to look friendly? Are we not friends? We don't like each other? And that's where this originated from.
But I never said that we were not friends. That term did not come out of my mouth. What I was saying is that clearly we were not friends 2 months ago. So we're coming together in a friendship. I'm sure we'll be having dinner together all the time soon. We'll be just, you know, hanging out and talking about our personal lives.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be friends?
Yeah, no, we can. I love
you.
You
said with such sarcasm.
No,
you beat me over the head with that last
one. That was not
sarcastic.
Maybe
we won't be friends.
I would love to be friends.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
I'm in the market. I'm looking.
Yeah, I mean, let's go get a pizza. You know, you can tell me all your problems, and I'll listen.
Yeah.
One of those things. Oh. Matt will be there. He'll tell me all his problems. I'll listen. And then we'll all go home.
That's perfect. That's all I'm looking for.
It'll be a great night. Those will be wonderful times as the holidays are upon us.
That's the goal to strive for right there.
Yeah, that we're friends by the end of the month.
Well, I think that we really are friends, to be honest with you. I consider you two friends now. Like, when I see you two in public, I probably am friendlier with you two than I am with other people.
That's true. When we see each other at work, we're always like, hey.
Yeah, we talk. We talk, do we not?
Hey.
Yeah, so it's we didn't talk before that.
That's really true. There was that one time in the break room.
Yeah.
But that's it.
That's it.
That's
it. Now, Matt and I did talk, but it wasn't... It's gotten certainly closer. We spend every Friday together.
Yeah.
We've went to Toledo together. We've done the whole thing.
Toledo was fun.
Well, wait for the first road trip.
I'm so excited.
You know where we need... I'm telling you, we need to broadcast from Put-in Bay. And Put-in Bay closes in October, so we've got to get that done.
Oh, my gosh. Let's set a date.
You've been to Put-in Bay?
What?
I mean, my parents have gone to Put-in Bay before, and they told me that it's just a whole bunch of casinos and bars.
No. There's a big monument, and there's all kinds of restaurants, and you're on the water, and there's all kinds of trails, and you get a golf cart. It's a great place.
Is there anywhere where you can learn about, like, the Battle of Put-in Bay? That's a thing, right?
Yeah, there's Perry's Monument. That's the monument.
There we go.
You can go up in Perry's Monument. Oh, it's a great place.
I'll go there.
Yeah. Oh, we could do a broadcast from there. That would be fun.
I would love that.
We're going to do Put-in Bay before the season's up, because I think they close in October. I think it's when they close the ferries.
Just let me know. I'm there.
We're going to get it done. All right. Okay, now last week we were doing pet peeves as we went off the air. And let's go through the pet peeves again for the audience who might not have heard those pet peeves. What was your pet peeve, Matt?
I think last week I said I don't have one, but...
I don't believe that.
I think if I had to pick a pet peeve off the top of my head, it'd probably be just, like, annoying children. Just annoying kids.
Watch it. I got in trouble for my pet peeve last week. You know, anytime you go toward a group of people, they're going to get angry.
Well, it's not, see, I have nothing against good behaving kids. It's just annoying and bad behaving kids that I don't like.
It's interesting because we had somebody on the station, I won't say their name because they're still around, but they used to say that kids should not be allowed in certain department stores because they could hurt themselves. I said, how do you ban a kid from a department store? You can't do that.
Are we talking about, like, kicking a kid out of Lowe's?
Yeah, they were very serious about this. We had this discussion many times.
My mom got thrown out of a place because of me whenever she was younger.
You were a troublesome child.
I guess so. I was only two, and we were in Las Vegas, I think, and I was playing with this pair of fuzzy dice, and I guess I was being disruptive. I don't know. My mom likes to embellish stories, so who knows what the truth was, but she made it sound as I was just sitting there being so innocent, and this lady's like, hey... You guys got to get out of here. She better put those dice down, and we're done. And they were going to, like, get security if we didn't leave.
Security to escort you.
I've gotten kicked out of Walmart before.
I've never been kicked out of anywhere. People ask me to come places.
I mean, I think it's just... I think the lady just overreacted. Me and one of my friends were just playing catch with a football. Like, one of the, you know, like, the styrofoam ones that they just have sitting in those bins. And then this Walmart employee saw us and told us that we had to put the ball back and leave.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Are you one of those people that's always, like, hung out in Walmart?
When I was, not so much recently, but when I was little, yeah, we would literally just go mess around in Walmart for like an hour and then go home.
See, I think that's the weirdest thing because people I knew used to be like, well, you know, like, what are we going to do? Like, let's go to Walmart. And they would want to, like, stand in the aisle and, like, play with the hula hoops and the bikes, and they're, like, riding them down the aisles, and I always felt so uncomfortable.
Now, I don't like it. See, I agree there. When my friends would, like, ride the bikes down the aisle, I'd be like, That's a lot, but
I'm glad to know this is a universal experience.
We just grabbed a football that was already out in the open and said, "Hey, catch this," and then threw it. And then this lady sold us, and then she was like, "You guys gotta put that down," and then kicked us out.
I bet she's just got low tolerance because people go in and ride the bikes in Walmart and stuff like that. Like, I would also be like, oh, we're not going to put up with this.
It also
Let's
wouldn't
just
surprise
get out
me
of here.
If some of the people who come in to, like, play catch with those footballs just end up knocking things off the shelves with them.
Yeah, I'm sure they're very destructive.
Because they're bad at throwing.
Yeah. Running into people, lots of things could happen.
You know, I have no relatability to this conversation because I had to go into Walmart last Saturday for the first time in like 4 months, and it's traumatizing. I do not like going into Walmart. There's something about it that I just do not like. Mm-hmm. And I don't get that feel. I live very close to Meijer. I walk to Meijer. I'm okay with that. I like going in other stores. Kohl's, fine. Grocery stores. I mean, I don't like to be in them all the time, but I can go in them. Something happens when you walk into Walmart I just do not like. There's something about it.
I like to go into to Walmart to people watch.
When I walk in there, immediately I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I'm super uncomfortable as far as, like, the environment, I guess. I don't know. I think it's weird how they have so many registers and they never have any of them open besides self-checkout. It's like, why did we put all of these in here? And then something about the general public in Walmart is a little off-putting.
Now, I just want to clarify something because last week my pet peeve apparently got, of course, a lot of bad feedback. What I said was, I don't like, and I think I was misunderstood. I don't like...
How are you?
I think I was misunderstood once again. I don't like when women are in public and they breastfeed. Because I think that you don't need to breastfeed right then. I don't know why you can't wait until you're back outside or you're at home or something of that nature. I don't think that kid needs to be fed right then and there in public. And then people look at the woman, and I don't think she likes that.
I think you got
misunderstood. It's very distracting.
I think you got misunderstood because you refer to it as the public. When you're talking more on, like, a grocery store, that's not so much public. I mean, grocery stores are considered private property. They're owned by Kroger.
Well, that's public. When the public comes in, that's public.
Yeah, but that's more so like but if you are out and about just, like, walking around the city, that's public. That is actually public.
I think I would rather them breastfeed walking down the street than, like, at the checkout line.
Yeah, you see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'd much rather it be, like, in public than, like, at
Why do you have to breastfeed in the checkout line? You got, like, 10 minutes in that checkout line at most.
I agree with that. I guess if, like, you were previously breastfeeding and you just kind of run into the store, I don't know. I've never breastfed, so I don't know how urgent it is that you need to do things actively as you're breastfeeding. I think it's more normal whenever people have, like, the little shawls that go over them, though.
Here's what I don't understand. How, and listen, this is strictly a woman thing for obvious reasons, but here's what I don't understand. If you could not walk into a store topless. You could not. And everybody would frown on that. If you walked into a store with a top and one thing came popping out, people would tell you to put it back in. You would be embarrassed. They would tell you to leave. No doubt about it in my mind. But if you whip it out and stick a baby on it, it's okay. I don't understand that. That is strange to me.
I see what you're saying. I think that maybe mothers' lives are already just hard enough, so it's like, hey, they want to whip it out at the grocery store, let them be. Like, they're not sleeping at night.
No, I'm saying you can breastfeed. I'm not against breastfeeding, but why in that period when you're... Because, listen, some of these kids are 15 and a half years old. Some of these kids have probably never seen a breast in their life. This is not the time to be introducing it to them. And then they have to go home and say, you know, Mom, what in the world was that I saw? I was, you know, one minute I was buying Archway cookies, and the next minute there was a breast in front of my face.
That's the risk you take when you go to the store, you're enrolled in public school, anything like that, the public.
It shouldn't be. That's all. I'm not, breastfeed your kid all day long, but just do it at home. And you talked about some lady pumping at work. That's not in public, because you are probably behind something. You're not sitting out there in the middle of the store doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to do it in front of people? It doesn't make me uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable for them. I feel like everybody around you is looking at what you're doing. Stop that.
Maybe they just don't care. I don't know. Like, women have a baby, and there's lots of people looking at things that would probably feel a little uncomfortable about. So they're like, eh. The breastfeed in the line at a Kroger, it is what it is.
You know, it's funny, though. As people get older, people get less...
private.
Yeah, less
yes.
aware of that sort of
oh,
thing.
Oh, yes, 100%.
I mean, you would never catch an 18-year-old girl doing that.
No.
Even if she had a kid.
I don't think so.
You would not catch an 18-year-old breastfeeding in the line at Kroger. But you would catch a 45-year-old breastfeeding in the line at Kroger. Something changes.
I don't think it's that they have, like, a lack of consciousness of it. I think they just don't care anymore.
I agree.
I think they either, one...
Everybody's seen them, just put them out there?
I think they either, one, don't care anymore, or two, they just realize that nobody else cares, so why does it matter?
Well, it is a pet peeve of mine. It's not my number one pet peeve. It's just the thing that came to my mind that night because I'd seen it recently last week. And I thought, you know, this is, like, to me, probably my number one pet peeve is language. Being an English teacher for many, many years, I do not like when people overuse literally. And I'll tell you something strange. Here's a little quick story for you. I used to, let's say it was dating a girl. I don't think we really were. From my perspective, but I think she thought we were. But she had a daughter who used literally every sentence of her life. I literally got up for bed this morning, and I literally grabbed my books and went to school, and I literally had this teacher yell at me, and Mom, this literally just happened. And every time I was around her, I liked the girl. The way she spoke drove me insane. I couldn't, but you're not going to say anything, because that boat will get rocky and tippy, and there'd be problems.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, there's a question for you. Do you, before we run out of time here for this little preview, remember we'll be on live tonight, 8:15 to 10 p.m., do you tell your significant other at the time if there's somebody in their family that you don't like? Because you're not going to like everybody.
It definitely depends how far you are into the relationship. Like, if you just started dating this person, you're obviously not going to be like, hey, your brother's really weird. But, like, if you've been with them a few months, like, you know, maybe you sneak in some comments or something strange happens and you're looking at them and you're like, yeah, you saw that. That was kind of weird, right? And you guys, like, you slowly bring it up.
See, I could never bring that up to her, though. You can never critique the kids.
Yeah, I mean, probably not if she's a parent. It's too late.
That's going to be dead. What do you think, Matt?
I critique a lot of people. I like to make fun of people.
Make fun and critique, I think, are two different things.
Okay, I like to poke fun at people and critique people. There's a difference, I guess.
Oh, here's something very quick, and I'm going to talk more about this tonight, so here's a little teaser for you. I made somebody cry in public the other day, and I did not mean to do it. I swear. I said something. I couldn't even tell you what I said. But I looked away from the person. I was in a group of people, and I said something to this person, clearly with my sardonic attitude, just trying to be, you know, it's not funny. I'm never trying to be funny, but it's dry humor, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I said something to her, and I turn to the group, and I'm talking to the group, and I look back, and I see the eyes start to get red, and tears start, and she had to go to the bathroom.
Can you give us more details?
That's what happened.
Okay.
I don't remember what I said to her.
You have
I don't,
no idea?
I cannot remember
that's
what I...
That's how routine it was.
That's how routine it was.
Did you go find her after and, like, try to talk to her about it?
Do I look like a therapist?
Yeah, you're looking at him crazy if you're
I was
like,
supposed to go find her? She went to the bathroom.
When she's done, you're like, hey, like, I'm so sorry. Like, did I say something that upset you?
No, when she came back, I said, why are you crying?
I'm sure she felt the empathy from that one.
I thought she was going to cry again. It was horrible.
Never ask someone whenever they're crying what they're crying about. No, it's going to make them cry more for sure.
But she did tell the group, because there were people around there, when she came back, she said he was being mean.
Wow. And you were there? Like, she said that in front of you?
Yeah, I really wasn't, though.
Oh.
No, not intentionally mean. Now, Matt, we've spent a lot of time together in public places. Do you think I'm mean?
I think... I think if you didn't spend a lot of time around you and you didn't know how you were, I could see how it would come off as mean. But you just like to poke fun at people. So, like, if somebody had never really, like, met you before, and then all of a sudden you were just poking fun at them.
You think that's mean, though? You think the stuff I never use profanity?
No, but they wouldn't have been around long enough to catch on.
And I never talk about somebody's personal life. I don't talk about anything you haven't told me. That's one of my cardinal rules of making light of somebody. Unless you tell me in front of people, I'm not going to bring it up.
Do you have any more cardinal rules? This is interesting.
No, I think if you're going to make fun of somebody, that's going to be very... if they tell you this and you know that they don't want other people to know about that, I can take things to the vault. I mean, I've got things that I've hidden for people for years. You can't make fun of that stuff because that will hurt them, even if you are trying to be funny. Like, you just said something before we went on the air that I would never make fun of you with because I think it would be more hurtful than more I couldn't make that funny, mm-hmm. in a way. Mm-hmm. I could make that funny with you if it was just you and I,
yeah.
like we did before we went on air.
For sure.
But I could never do that in public because I think it would be hururtful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would never do something like that.
I think you know in most situations. You do know. It's just like some people are more sensitive than others. Like maybe you're just like really personable and so you just like assume everyone's comfortable with that. And it's like maybe she's just... got really bad social anxiety or something. I have no idea.
Well, here's the problem with this girl. That's fascinating thing is that I've been around her for years now. At least a year. So I've done this with her before. So I don't know what it was about the other day that made her cry.
Was it at Kroger?
Yes, it was. You know who it was.
I have a guess of who it was.
But I'm telling you, I have said things to this person many, many times. And nothing. The other day, she was crying.
Maybe she was, like, already emotional about something.
Maybe she was just having a bad day at work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't take that, because then I look bad, because I've just sent you to the bathroom crying.
For sure, you look like a jerk. And yeah, didn't even go apologize to her?
Oh, I ain't got that kind of time. I ain't got that kind of time to follow her around. What do I care what she thinks?
Yeah, it's not my problem that you cried because I made a joke.
No, and it really was a joke. I mean, it clearly was a joke. She had to have known it was a joke.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe she's just more sensitive and, like, she doesn't like the jokes, but, like, she doesn't want to say, hey, don't joke with me anymore, because, like, that's no fun.
You know what I think it is? I think generally she wants to be friends, and I think she thinks that I don't see her as a friend. I think she really sometimes thinks what I'm saying is true.
So she just thinks you're consistently being passive-aggressive toward her?
Yeah, I think she thinks that I'm passive-aggressive, which I'm not passive-aggressive at all with anybody.
No. No, I never felt that way.
No, if I did not like something about you, I would pull you to the side, because I don't want to humiliate anybody, and I would say, listen, you know, that really doesn't work for me. I don't like that. Don't do that again. So I don't understand it. It's just very weird that happened. I found that very strange.
Yeah, I'm excited to see her. Do you think you're ever going to bring this up again, or just...
No, we're talking about tonight. We're going to talk about it more tonight, because what I want to know from you guys, now that I've bared my soul on this whole thing, I want to know if you, and you'll have time to think about it for the rest of the day, till tonight at 8:15, have you ever done something to somebody that you, and you don't tell who it is, that you intended to be, and most of the time it's a joke, you intended it to be a joke, but you really hurt somebody, and maybe it's not a joke, maybe it was a situation in your life, but you hurt somebody unintentionally, and how did you deal with that?
Oh, yeah. I can think of instances. I'll say, thinking.
And here's my advice, and I want to know, how should I fix this situation? Did I do the right thing?
Yeah, by ignoring it? I don't think so. You need to address it.
You really should apologize.
Yeah, I mean, it tells the person that you care about the way they feel. Like, you said something earlier about it's not your responsibility for how somebody else feels about what you said, but if you care about that person, then you do care about how they feel about what you say or do.
If I said something and they took it in a, like, if I, like in this case, like, Scott made a joke and then she took the joke as an insult and started crying and went to the bathroom, it's not on me because you misunderstood my joke.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's on him, but, like, if he wants to tell this girl that he cares about her and, you know, that he thinks that she thinks they're going to be friends and equals, I feel like he still has a little responsibility to reach out and be like, hey, I'm really sorry that hurt you.
I think you should always just forget about it. Move on. Move on.
Not even worry about it. So that's the homework assignment for tonight, is come back with something that you feel was traumatic to somebody else that you caused, that you would do again, because you would not do it the same way.
Very specific. Very specific. I'll think about it.
That's going to be on tonight, 8:15 to 10 p.m. And tonight, some of the other topics, well, I'm not even going to tell you, because they're so interesting. But I'll tell you one, because I have told these guys. I'm not telling anybody, because I've never told these guys. But one topic we're going to discuss tonight is going to be fascinating. Now, here's a study from Pew, P-E-W. Americans are the next to last, how do you say this right? They are the worst flirters, except for people in Ecuador, country-wise, in the United States. A Pew research poll has found this. Spain is number one. So tonight, we're going to figure out why Americans are so bad at flirting.
Hey, next. Just like before, I've got questions about how they collected this data.
No, it's Pew.
It's Pew. We believe it. Okay.
Never question the studies, as I've said. Carrington Nelson, Matt Morgan, and Sean Kraft will all be along for the ride tonight, 8:15 to 10 p.m. on this station. Oh, and check out Facebook, because we're going to have a video on there advertising this show. Have you gotten with the Facebook crowd yet, Carrington?
Have I gotten with them? I Facebook. I'm just very... I don't use it. I'm sorry.
But for... You followed the page. I saw that.
Yes, I did. Okay. I did. I've sought it out.
Way to go. And we're friends.
Oh, yeah, we're friends.
All of us are friends. We're going to be, you know, chewing... quickly. Somebody told me what... Now, think about this for tonight. We might even bring this up tonight. Somebody told me one time, a girl that I knew, and a friend, a total friend, that when she was in high school, her and her boyfriend showed affection by her chewing his gum. That he had all... I thought this was the most disgusting thing in the world. I still can't get... That's my number one
pick. Do they share their toothbrush, too?
Maybe they do.
Sounds like they might.
They might have shared other things down the road, but I'm sure they shared their gum. And that grossed me out when I've never heard anything like that.
That's disgusting. That's like whenever people kiss their dogs, like, on the lips and stuff. Like, I think that might be my pet peeve last week.
Pet peeve.
That's so gross. Like, chewing somebody's gum, that gives the same energy. I hate
that. Now, why don't the dog people get on you like the breastfeeding people get on me?
Because people, no one's claiming loud and proud that they like to kiss their dogs on the lip. Like, if you do that, you do that in private. That's a secret.
They're loud and proud about breastfeeding?
Yes, I think people are passionate about breastfeeding, for sure.
Well, you were talking about the breastfeeding group earlier. I'm not against breastfeeding. I'm against breastfeeding in public.
And I just think that people disagree with you on that. But nobody's going to get on here and say... It's not gross to kiss your dogs on the lips.
Oh, people do it, though.
We'll see.
I'm survived. He was survived by his dog, Buddy. No, you're not survived by your dog. That's what the last thing you want is you're going out of this world. That's another pet peeve I have. People who put their animals in their obituaries.
Well, my animals are my children. I'm putting...
Oh, Matt.
Look,
no.
I have two cats, and they are my children.
You would want that in your obituary?
Absolutely. Athena and Freya are my livelihood.
Oh, no.
I think I'm with Matt. I'm sorry. I don't think that's that weird. People really love their animals. Like, some people...
Don't kiss them, but you can put them in the obituary.
Yes, put them in your obituary. I just don't want to see you going tongue-to-tongue with your dog.
Oh. Yes,
absolutely.
I can't even.
He's speechless.
I can't even. That has become a thing. He survived by his parrot, Chester. No! You only survive by human beings. Human beings are different than animals.
Oh, that's fine. That's your strong opinion, but I think Matt's got a point.
Tune in tonight. We'll discuss that. Worst flirters, United States, except for Ecuadorians, and a whole lot of other stuff, cookies and all, as we head into the big Labor Day weekend. Check out Facebook. There's going to be a video there, 30 seconds, only 30 seconds, but it'll be worth paying attention to. We'll release that on Facebook this afternoon. All right, for Carrington, Matt, this is Scott going back to the studio for more programming. All right, we will be back after this break with Pastor Whitaker. Stay tuned.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion.